A couple weeks ago, I heard Jeremiah say something that I thought was really funny. He said, "I'm hungry enough to eat the north half of a horse going south." And I'm sure a lot of us have experienced hunger that dramatically to where we know it's not true, but still we don't even feel like we're lying when we make a statement like that because we are hungry. And hunger has such an act on the way we feel. It takes over who we are. It takes over the way we act to such an extent that you can make a statement like that and feel like it's truthful, even though you know it's not. I'm going to speak today on they that hunger. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, once again, I just pray that you would be with me this morning as I endeavor to share your word. Give me a clear mind. Help me even as I go through all these notes to keep them in order, that I could speak these things clearly. And Father, most of all, I just pray that your people would be fed this morning. Amen. Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." I want you to imagine for a moment, if you had been one of those disciples that was there that day, you had heard these words. I want you to imagine sitting down with the Apostle John, recalling that day, recalling climbing up that mountain, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Beholding his face, hearing his voice, and hearing those blessed words fall from his lips. What joy, what glory you would feel as you recalled those words. "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Now I want to say, when you read the Bible, you should feel that same way. That same glory, that same joy that you would feel if you had been there, recalling those words fall from his lips, you should feel that same way when you read this passage. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Without righteousness, there is no blessedness. In the Garden of Eden, there was perfect righteousness and there was full blessedness. In eternity, we will once again be perfectly righteous and there will be perfect blessedness. But what about now? Now we are in this life of pain and sin and toil and suffering, lack of righteousness, and lack of blessedness. But Jesus tells us something interesting. He says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Just the desire for righteousness enters us into that blessedness. Gives us a full taste, gives us a large taste, I should say, of that blessedness. Just simply desiring the righteousness. The two most urgent cravings that a man has are hunger and thirst. And Jesus picked these two cravings when he talked about our desire for righteousness, hunger and thirst. These two cravings have such a control over us that most people have never really experienced them. Because as soon as we begin to be hungry, we find something to eat. As soon as we notice a sense of thirst, we get something to drink. Rarely do you find a man who is, at least in this country, where there is enough food, where people have actually experienced hunger. We don't know what it is. We just have a little taste of it. True hunger and true thirst will drive a man crazy. It has that much control over us, and this is what Jesus has picked to talk about. He says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Hunger does not leave until you feed it. When you have hunger, it is there. You cannot tell a man who is hungry, just wait it out, it'll go away. He knows that it won't. Time makes it worse. You must have food. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You can place the world before a hungry man. Business prospects that will make him rich. Glory and fame. And if he's hungry enough, he won't give a care about it. He needs food. Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. That's what hunger will do to somebody. And we know that he wasn't even hungry enough to have necessitated such a thing. He was just hungry that day. And he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup because he was hungry. And I was once witnessing, and I asked the man where he was going to spend eternity. And he said, "I don't know, but I know where I'm going to spend the next 15 minutes to get something to eat." Eternity, the future, is not as important as the next 15 minutes if you're hungry. That is the way the human being operates. When you are hungry, it is the most important thing. When a man sits at a table and he starts to notice the napkins aren't folded right, the salt shaker is crooked, and the parsley is arranged on the meat wrong, you know that person's not hungry. And when a Christian can't go to church because the chairs are hard, can't listen to the preacher because he's inconsistent, he has some problems in his life, doesn't like the way the preacher's wife does her hair, you know you have a Christian that is not hungry. In this hunger for righteousness, it must start as an all-consuming desire to be right before God. This verse itself implies that man is not righteous. It says, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Hunger and thirst necessitate something that we do not contain in and of ourselves. So just the fact that he says, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness," implies of itself, we are not righteous. The Bible says that elsewhere, so we wouldn't need that to be implied here, but this verse does imply that. The first step to hungering and thirsting after righteousness is to realize you are a sinner. And when you realize that, to the man who is praying and striving and hungering and thirsting, the idea of the finished work of Christ comes with a peculiar sweetness. True hunger for righteousness desires to be right in every way. It desires to be right in conduct. It desires to be right in language. It desires to be right in thought. It makes you desire to be marked by integrity, by kindness. You desire to be marked by mercifulness. You desire that your life would and who you are would be known by love. It gives you a desire to have correct feelings towards God. Causes you to crave to know who God is, to rightly know who He is, to rightly know how to pray and to rightly praise Him. And to properly obey Him. And of course, to love God. This is the hunger, this is the thirst I'm talking about. The godly man hungers to see righteousness in others as well. So we see this as three parts. First, the desire for righteousness causes you to desire to stand right before God. Then it puts a desire in you that you would actually live a true godly lifestyle. And then it causes you next to desire to see righteousness in others. It causes you to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It causes you to pray, "Lord, end the reign of sin. Cast down the idols. Chase error from the earth. Turn men from lust and avarice and greed and drunkenness and filthiness and sin. Lord, save souls." This is hunger and thirst for righteousness. But what Jesus says is very interesting. He says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst." That is a paradox of itself. We would not naturally assume that being hungry is a good thing. We want to be full. We want to be satisfied. We would naturally say, "Blessed is the man who is satisfied." But Jesus says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness," present tense, "for they shall be filled," future tense. It says, "Blessed are we now when we hunger, for we shall be filled." But we are still blessed now while we hunger. This is an amazing paradox. Hungry and yet blessed? Yes. You might be saying, "Oh, that I could be right. Oh, that I were righteous before God. Oh, that I were forgiven." Or maybe, "I am saved, but oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh wretched man that I am so controlled by sinful tendencies. Why these thoughts? Why these wrong desires?" Or maybe not you, but maybe you're saying, "Oh God, for my friends, for my family, for my father, for my mother, for my children." And it pains you to the depth of your soul, and you say, "How can this be blessedness? How can this deep, gnawing pain be blessedness?" For multiple reasons, mainly because Jesus says it is. Jesus says, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Hearken to the words of Christ and take courage, knowing that the deeper you feel this pain of hunger, the more blessed you are. Why are you blessed? Because Jesus said so, number one. But because you have been made to know the right value of things. You used to value self. You used to value pleasure, wealth, greatness. What else? Now you have valued the right things. You have gone from being the child who values a glass bead more than a pearl to understanding the real value of a pearl. You now have the right value of things. And again, you are blessed because with this hunger, many meaner hungers leave. As Aaron's rod that swallowed up... Aaron's rod? Yeah, Moses' rod that swallowed the snake that swallowed up the other snakes. Because this hunger that we have is a singular hunger. It replaces all other hungers. It discriminates against everything else. It causes you to be hungry for one thing. Pleasure, happiness, doesn't matter. Your desire is to be righteous for righteousness' sake, whatever the cost. A hungry man never says, I would like a meal, but I could do without it. A hungry man says, I must eat. I must have food. I have a hunger that must be satisfied. And a hungry soul never says, I'd like to be saved sometime, but hopefully that'll happen. A hungry soul says, I must be saved. I must be right with God. I must be righteous. I will not let thee go until thou bless me. This is the attitude of a hungry man. This is the attitude of a hungry soul. This one desire so far outshines every other desire that you could truly say of the man who has experienced this desire that he hates his father, his mother, his wife, his children, yea, and his own life also. Because this one desire has so far outshined them all that they disappear off the radar. And again, you are blessed because through this hunger you are delivered from many foolish delusions. Mainly, that you can satisfy your own needs. A hungry man knows that he cannot eat his arm, though we sometimes speak of that. You say, I'm hungry enough, I could eat my arm. But we know that that does not satisfy. You do not have what you need to satisfy your hunger, and the hungry man knows that no matter what anybody tells him. And the hungry soul knows that he does not contain what he needs to be righteous. He knows, I must have the work of Christ. I must have a Savior. I must have something from an outside source, or I will not be righteous. I must have Christ. And again, you are blessed because hunger is a mark of the work of the Spirit. The natural man does not desire the things of God. If you are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, you know that the Spirit is working in your life. And you can rest. And I should say there is an extra confidence that can be given to you in that, knowing that the Spirit is working. And once again, it makes you blessed because it makes you like your Master. Who was it that said, I have meat to eat that ye know not of? Who is it that said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me? Jesus Christ. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness makes you like your Master. We aren't left here. We are left with a blessed promise. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
they shall be filled.
But what's interesting about this filling is there's again another paradox here. Unless you speak of eternity, the filling that you get will still leave you hungry. Will still leave you hungry, yeah. And in fact, the more full you get, the hungrier you will become. Only the hunger that is added is another kind that has no bitterness with it, but it still is hunger. The righteousness we attain comes in many steps. Every step brings us farther along the way. And we look back and we thank God for the blessing of where we come from, where He's brought us. And yet we look forward, and hunger and thirst is the only cravings that are strong enough to express the desire that we feel to take that next step forward. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So you have saving faith. In that, your hunger has been satisfied. But getting saving faith just makes you all the more hungry to add virtue. And you begin to realize, I've been saved, but I have this problem and this problem and this problem, areas that I'm not virtuous. And you begin to hunger for virtue that you never knew you didn't have. And then you grow to the next step and your hunger is satisfied and you begin to realize the Lord's been changing me and I have some of these virtues that I used to not have. And then you begin to realize all the things that you don't know when you began to hunger for knowledge. And the Lord begins to add knowledge to your life and that hunger is beginning to be satisfied. And then you realize you need temperance. And then you need patience. You need more godliness. You need more brotherly kindness. You need more love. Every step of the way, you're satisfied and you're hungry. And you're satisfied and you're hungry. The more satisfied you are, the hungrier you get. But it won't end this way. A day is coming where we will be satisfied infinitely. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. These feet of mine will someday stand in a sinless form on those golden streets. These ears will turn. These eyes will turn and look without a worry of seeing anything sinful, without a worry of defiling myself. These ears will listen to nothing but music and praise and singing and glory and hallelujahs. My tongue will then be fully tamed. There will never again pass between my lips anything less than fully true. I will then be able to say, then I shall know as I am known and stand complete before the throne. In closing, we must learn, must long, I should say, not only to stand justified before God, but to, in all actuality, live righteous. We must desire that our imputed righteousness express itself forth as imparted righteousness, be actualized in real life, and make us live a holy life before God and man. But not only a holy life, but that we would stand clean and pure before the heart-searching God. Not only because He has pronounced us clean and pure, but that through the work of the Spirit we actually are clean and pure. And hallelujah for the work of grace promised to us that these things can and will be so. Let's dismiss.